Welcome to AQA A-Level PE Revision, your go-to podcast for exam-ready knowledge. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and mark-rich topics in the Skill Acquisition Unit, Learning Theories. Whether you're revising for a 6-mark question or preparing for a full 15-mark extended response, this episode has got you covered. So grab your notes and let's get started. Learning theories sit within Section 2.2 of the AQA A-Level Physical Education Specification. The core question this topic asks is, how do performers actually learn new skills? And the answer, according to the specification, comes in 3 distinct theoretical frameworks: operant conditioning, cognitive theory, and social learning theory. Each one offers a different explanation of the learning process, and examiners expect you to not only define and describe each theory, but to apply them to sporting scenarios and evaluate their strengths and limitations. That's your AO1, AO2, and AO3 right there. Let's start with operant conditioning, associated with B.F. Skinner and Edward Thorndike. Operant conditioning is defined as the manipulation of the environment to strengthen or weaken the stimulus-response bond through the use of reinforcement or punishment. The key idea here is the SR bond, the automatic link between a stimulus, like a ball being thrown at you, and a response, like moving into position to catch it. The coach's job, according to this theory, is to shape that bond through consequences. Now, this is where candidates often drop marks, so listen carefully. There are 3 types of consequence in operant conditioning. Positive reinforcement involves adding a pleasant stimulus to strengthen the SR bond. For example, a coach praising an athlete after a successful tackle. Negative reinforcement involves removing an unpleasant stimulus to strengthen the SR bond. For example, a coach stops criticizing a swimmer once their technique improves. Both positive and negative reinforcement strengthen the bond. Punishment, on the other hand, weakens the bond. It involves applying an unpleasant consequence, like being dropped from the team, to reduce the likelihood of an unwanted behavior being repeated. This is the number one mistake candidates make: confusing negative reinforcement with punishment. Remember, both forms of reinforcement, positive and negative, make the behavior more likely. Punishment makes it less likely. If you can nail that distinction, you're already ahead of most candidates in the exam hall. Now let's bring in Thorndike's laws, which complement operant conditioning beautifully. Thorndike identified 3 laws. The law of effect states that if a response is followed by a satisfier, a pleasant outcome, the SR bond is strengthened. If it's followed by an annoyer, an unpleasant outcome, the bond is weakened. The law of exercise states that the more a stimulus-response connection is practiced, the stronger it becomes. This is about repetition of the specific skill, not general fitness training, which is a common confusion. And the law of readiness states that learning is more effective when the performer is physically and mentally prepared. In an exam, when you mention Thorndike, always explicitly use the words satisfier and annoyer. These are the precise terms that secure AO1 marks. Now let's move on to cognitive theory, which takes a completely different approach. Cognitive theory, rooted in Gestalt psychology, argues that learning is not simply about forming automatic SR bonds, but about understanding the whole problem situation. The Gestalt psychologists, the word Gestalt means whole or form in German, believe that performers use perception, past experience, and insight to solve movement problems. Rather than responding mechanically to stimuli, the cognitive learner actively processes information, identifies patterns, and arrives at solutions through understanding. The key terms you must use here are Gestalt, insight, intervening variables, and whole learning. Intervening variables are the mental processes: perception, memory, understanding, that occur between the stimulus and the response. Unlike operant conditioning, which treats the learner almost like a machine, cognitive theory recognizes that the performer is an active, thinking agent. A practical example: a basketball player reading a defensive setup and instinctively finding the gap. That's cognitive theory in action. They're not responding to a single stimulus, they're perceiving the whole problem and using insight to find the solution. Cognitive theory is particularly effective for open, complex skills. Skills performed in unpredictable, changing environments where rigid SR bonds would be too inflexible. This is a great evaluative point for your AO3 marks. You can argue that while operant conditioning suits closed skills like a gymnastics vault, cognitive theory is superior for open skills like a football midfielder's decision making. Now let's look at social learning theory, developed by Albert Bandura. Bandura proposed that learning occurs through observation and imitation of a model. But crucially, it's not just passive watching. There are 4 sequential processes that must occur for learning to take place. These are captured in the acronym AARM: attention, retention, motor reproduction, and motivation. attention, the learner must pay focused attention to the model's performance. Factors that enhance attention include the model's status. A high-status model, like a professional athlete, commands more attention, and the clarity of the demonstration. Retention, the learner must encode and store a mental representation of the observed behavior. This might involve mental rehearsal or verbal labeling of the movement. Motor reproduction, the learner must physically attempt to reproduce the observed movement. This requires the physical capability to perform the skill. Motivation, the learner must be motivated to imitate the behavior. This is often driven by vicarious reinforcement. Seeing the model being rewarded for the behavior increases the observer's motivation to copy it. Here's the critical exam tip for Bandura. Never just list the four stages in the abstract. Always apply each stage specifically to the scenario given in the question. If the question describes a young tennis player watching their coach, your answer should say something like, "The player pays attention to the coach's serve technique. They retain a mental image of the ball toss and racket swing. They attempt motor reproduction by practicing the serve themselves, and their motivation is reinforced when they receive praise from the coach." That contextualized application is what earns AO2 marks. Also note that Bandura emphasized the importance of self-efficacy, the learner's belief in their own ability to perform the skill. High self-efficacy increases motivation and persistence. This is a sophisticated AO3 point that can elevate a good answer to an excellent one. Right, let's talk exam technique and common mistakes, because knowing the theory is only half the battle. For 6-mark questions, structure your answer with a clear definition, a sporting application, and where possible, a brief evaluative comment. For 8 or 15-mark extended responses, you need all three assessment objectives: AO1 knowledge and understanding, AO2 application to a sporting context, and AO3 analysis and evaluation. A strong AO3 move is to contrast theories. For instance, arguing that operant conditioning is effective for drilling closed skills in early learners, but that cognitive theory better explains how expert performers adapt to novel game situations. Common mistakes to avoid. First, confusing negative reinforcement with punishment. We've covered this, but it bears repeating. Second, listing Bandura's ARM stages without applying them to the specific scenario in the question. Examiners will not award AO2 marks for generic descriptions. Third, describing cognitive theory as simply thinking, you must reference intervening variables and the gestalt concept of whole learning. Fourth, confusing the law of exercise with physical fitness training. It refers specifically to the repetition of the SR connection, not cardiovascular conditioning. One more tip, use the term intervening variables in your cognitive theory answers. It signals A-level vocabulary and will impress the examiner. Now, quickfire recall quiz. Cover your notes and test yourself. Question 1. What does ARM stand for in Bandura's social learning theory? Pause and think. The answer is attention, retention, motor reproduction, motivation. Question 2. What is the difference between negative reinforcement and punishment? Pause. Negative reinforcement removes an unpleasant stimulus to strengthen the SR bond. Punishment applies an unpleasant stimulus to weaken the SR bond. Question 3. What term describes the mental processes between stimulus and response in cognitive theory? Pause. Intervening variables. Question 4. Which of Thorndike's laws relates to the effect of a satisfier on the SR bond? Pause. The law of effect. Question 5. Which theory is most appropriate for explaining learning of open, complex skills? Pause. Cognitive theory, because it accounts for perception, insight, and the whole problem situation. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant section before your exam. Let's wrap up. Today we covered 3 learning theories: operant conditioning, with its SR bonds, reinforcement, punishment, and Thorndike's laws; cognitive theory, with its gestalt principles, insight, and intervening variables; and social learning theory, with Bandura's ARM model and the role of the model's status and self-efficacy. Remember to always apply these theories to specific sporting scenarios in your exam answers, contrast them for AO3 marks, and use precise terminology throughout. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.